Freedom Guns is your local gun store for the Rockledge Coco area in Brevard County, Florida. Stop in and meet Mike and the gang and see the great deals they have on long guns, handguns, accessories, ammunition, AR build kits, and Liberty safes that come with free delivery and installation. They're located at 1255 Florida Avenue, just north of Rockledge High School. For more information, check them out at freedom-guns.com. Tell them you heard about them on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
The Shooting Straight Radio podcast is proudly sponsored in part by The Gun Sight in Merritt Island, with a 9-lane, 25-yard indoor shooting range, handgun and machine gun rentals, a fully stocked gun store with plenty of long guns, handguns, ammunition, and accessories to choose from. They're your one-stop shop in Merritt Island for all things necessary to responsibly exercise your Second Amendment right. Check them out at gunsightrange.com or stop by in person at 125 South Banana River Drive. And make sure you tell them that you heard about the Gun Sight on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
He said, let's go. So let's go. We are locked and loaded on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. This is the program all about firearms, the Second Amendment, and all things pertaining thereto. I am Royce, your host, and yes, Professor Emeritus of Second Amendment Studies, pouring it to you from both barrels with 100% felt recoil and no suppressor at all. Hey, if you have hearing like yours truly, check out my friend out there at Ear Care of Melbourne. That would be Mr. Glenn Oberbeck and his wife. They will do a very comprehensive audiogram for you and fit you with the hearing aids that are designed for your particular level of hearing loss. They've done it for me. I'm going to tell you right now, it will change your life for the better. Let's get into things. I don't know if you've heard yet, but the DOJ, Department of Justice, so-called, recently spawned the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. Gee, what could possibly go wrong when the federal government decides to take a strong interest in these ERPOs, these red flag laws, ERPO standing for Extreme Risk Protection Order, of course. Gee, what could go wrong? What kind of plans do you think they've got? I mean, they already tried to pass a federal red flag law, but that was shot down. So I'm thinking they're trying to take a different avenue now. We'll discuss that in just a minute. But what's really quaint in this is they call this National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center, the Center. Yes, it even has that ominous name, kind of like thing called The Shop in that movie Firestarter with the original version with Drew Barrymore and Brian Keith, if you ever saw that. It was called The Shop, and they were an ominous lot, just like these people at The Center. I know by now you've heard me voice my concern, my loathing, my white-hot contempt for these things ever since they were inflicted upon us here in Florida back in 2018 when a bunch of gutless, spineless, worthless, cowardly state legislators yielded and gave in to the hysterical cries for all the gun control they wanted in the wake of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas slaughter. And if you live in Florida, and even if you don't, you probably remember that horrible incident, and it was used to drive through gun control. A lot of so-called Republicans drove it through, too. I'm not going to give anybody any, you know, credence here on the program, advertising, so to speak, but they gave in to the pressure of all the shrill voices thinking that gun control was the only thing that was, you know, could possibly work. What they should have done if they were actually constitutionally minded people, they would have come out and said, look, we understand you're hurt. We're all hurt. This is a terrible tragedy. It's awful. But giving a knee-jerk reaction by simply passing a law that's going to affect you later on in life is not the way to do it. Now, let's go home, let's pray for those who lost loved ones, and let's figure this thing out. This is going to impact us for a long time, but the worst thing we can do is pass laws based on emotion. You can't do that. That's what they should have done. No, they did not, of course, obviously. But these ERPOs, I firmly believe, will soon be used to disarm entire families. And I believe, and I'm prognosticating here, that I think federal agents will use these things in order to disarm people right before they raid them. I have a feeling that's what's going to happen. Do I have definitive proof or any leaked memo that backs that up? No, but what I do have is a lot of experience with these kinds of people and what they do and how they do things. And the only purpose of this, believe me, if you think for a second that the DOJ under Biden is concerned about public safety, you have your head under a rock, or worse yet. This is not about public safety. All gun control is about protecting the government and not the people. Whether you like to agree with that or not, I don't care. But I believe that they're going to do this. This is all based on my observations of the plethora of criminally minded politicians and federal agents who enforce their every whim. So if you think this bodes well and this is just going to be some minor inconvenience for us, you don't know what's going on. I just go ahead and mark it down right now. Roy said it April 8th, right here on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. All right. I guarantee you one thing. Once they kick your door in, once they serve an ERPO on you and take your guns before they kick your door in, if you think you're going to see your guns again, you don't know how these people work either. And trust me, you'll never get your name taken off the no-fly list. And if you're on the no-fly list, you are on the no-buy list. They will not give you clearance to buy a weapon. Hope you got some friends around that will help you that will take the responsibility of helping you to rearm. Mm-hmm. And I remember when these things made their debut and my spider senses were tingling and I smelled something rather malevolent. But I tell you what, it has morphed into something much worse than I think I could ever imagine. And that's what these things are. They really are. They literally assault the second, the fourth, and the Fifth Amendment rights of the people with great violence. This is not acceptable. Where do we draw the line? For me, I'm already at the place where, okay, if you come here and knock on my door and say, we have an ERPO, we're taking your guns, I hope you've enjoyed the program because you won't be hearing it anymore probably. you can read into that what you may. But me, no. When does this stop? I don't care how many court. I don't care how many legislators voted aye. I don't care how many courts have upheld these and helped issue these ERPOs in flagrant violation of the Constitution, three rights in particular mentioned therein. I don't care how many of them. It's wrong. When do we let people know that, hey, we're not putting up with this crap? And yeah, I'll tell you later on about another resolution of noncompliance that I'm thinking about. So, it's when these things first came on the scene, though, I said, man, these things are bad. They really are. And then the government, the federal government, yes, the federal government under Obama began to promote them and glorify them and trumpet them as surefire tools that were absolutely necessary to bring an end to gun violence when they possess zero evidence, of course, they've actually done anything of the sort. That threw red flags all over the place for me. And I knew something was bad. I had no idea it was going to morph to this level, but it doesn't surprise me one bit. So, like I said, they're not only a direct assault on the Second, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments, they're also, I believe, another foundation of eventual mass confiscation, because I believe they'll soon be filed against entire groups of people and not individuals only. I think, personally, this very well could be, I'm not speaking definitively, but it could be literally a mass confiscation in disguise. Yes, disguised as a bunch of ERPOs. I mean, a bunch of ERPOs. I mean, like, wow, hundreds and thousands and more. Don't you think they won't do it? Well, let me ask you something right now. These FISA warrants and all this stuff that the federal government has right now, are they constitutional? No, of course they're not. Not even close to being constitutional. But yet, they've been weaponized against the American people. Now that there is an ERPO center, called the Center, of course, colloquially, now what do you think they're going to do with that? I know what they're going to do with it. I really do. Now, can I prove they're going to start issuing mass, you know, scads of orders at a time? No, not yet. But I know how they think, and I know how they act, and I know how they operate, so don't doubt me too much, all right? I believe this hand is being played in conjunction with other avenues, such as a federal gun registry that, of course, is being illegally maintained, even in spite of it violating federal law, but they don't care because they're lawless. That's being assisted by all the states that have a full gun registry, too, by the way. You realize that, right? Yeah, I believe that all those states that have full gun registry turn over that registration information to the ATF. Can I prove it yet? Not yet. But stand by. I think I can very soon. Not in this episode. I believe they're also using other laws as foundations, but that's another podcast episode. So it's funny that someone sent me a very ominous screenshot of a post on the DOJ Instagram page a couple of weeks ago, which made me immediately get on the DOJ website and verify it, and that's this was the title of the memo. Justice Department launches the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. And this was for immediate release from the Office of Public Affairs of the DOJ, Saturday, March 23rd, 2024. Now we're going to go through here and take bits and pieces out of this, and I'm going to intersperse my also gracious commentary on top of that, as I am prone to do. The Justice Department launched the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center and, in parentheses, they said, also known as the Center. I can almost hear the haunting music when I say the Center. And I'm waiting to hear dun, 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 which will provide training and technical assistance to law enforcement officials, prosecutors, attorneys, judges, clinicians, victim service and social service providers, community organizations, and behavioral health professionals responsible for implementing laws designed to keep guns out of the hands of people who pose a threat to themselves or others. Okay, now I'm going to read back through that list there, and I want you to put the word federal in front of each of those particular professions mentioned. Yes, put the word federal in front of it, because that's exactly the scope of this thing. This is the federal government reaching in and using our own American tax dollars as money grants to the states to get them to either enact such laws, but not only that, but help them to enforce such laws. And by the way, once they, you know, start pouring money into a state, what does that do? Yeah, exactly. It makes that state nice and pliable because it wants those federal tax dollars. And what do you think is going to happen then? They're going to do everything exactly as the federal government prescribes. And what do you think that might be? Use your imagination. So let's put the word federal in front of each of those things there. Federal law enforcement officials, federal prosecutors, federal attorneys, federal judges, federal clinicians, you know, like at the VA hospital. Or how about federal victim service and social service providers? Wee gee, that could be all sorts of federal government programs there, couldn't it? Oh, community organizations and behavioral health professionals. I forgot to put federal in front of the community organizations, but that's what's going on here. Put the word federal in front of that, and it's a more honest representation of what's going on here. I assure you that. And they're going to use these red flag laws and all this money to basically manipulate the states into becoming an extension of the federal government and doing their bidding. So the translation of this memo is the DOJ has now created a new bureau designed to bring the forces of the federal government, and I'm reading from my notes, healthcare and academia to bear against your right to keep and bear arms, conservatives only, of course, and to create new criteria to trigger an ERPO, which will include, how about this, terminology. Yeah, what about your terminology? I mean, they're already classifying you and I as domestic violent extremists if we use words like MAGA, Jesus, Constitution, Second Amendment in any speech that claims the federal government is no longer constitutional and filled with filthy communists. Yes, I, of course, post that all over what little social media I am left on. And I guarantee you, they would say they would use that and will use that to, file for an ERPO through my own state government or the state law enforcement agency or even a county. I don't know if Wayne Ivey would here in Florida would, in Brevard County would actually go along with this, but, you know, stranger things have happened. I hope he would stand firm, but it could happen on the county and local level too. Well, it's a federal complaint, so we gotta go pick his guns up. Listen, if you think that's a nightmare scenario that probably would never happen, you don't understand what you're dealing with here. What about a trigger like disagreement with the government and its false narratives in any way, like the false J6 narrative, the false November 3rd, 2020 narrative, huh? What about not slavishly complying with DCF workers who are looking for any reason possible to remove your kids and have them adopted by pedophiles? What about attending board meetings and attempting to have your voice heard about nastiness in your child's library at school? Huh? What about demanding that the Constitution be enforced? Because I do. All the time. A lot of people I know do the same thing. It needs to be enforced. It is not enforced, and it needs to be. If you think this is really about public safety, then you don't know these communists very well, I will say again. So, Mr. Merrick Garland made a statement, and he said, the launch of the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center will provide our partners across the country with valuable resources to keep firearms out of the hands of individuals who pose a threat to themselves or others. Our partners across the country. Who would that be? All of those people aforementioned before. Mm-hmm. He said the establishment of the center is the latest example of the Justice Department's work to use every tool provided by the landmark Bipartisan Safer Communities Act to protect communities from gun violence. Well, how about this? If you really want to protect the public from something even worse than that, like 16 times worse, how about you protect them from medical malpractice? How about you start there? Then he continues, ERPO laws, which are modeled off domestic violence protection orders, create a civil process. Listen to the word. Create a civil process. Okay, that's very important later. Just stay tuned. Allowing law enforcement, family members in most states, and medical professionals or other groups in some states to petition a court to temporarily prohibit someone at risk of harming themselves or others from purchasing and possessing firearms for the duration of the order. That sounds all lofty, well, and good, but there's a problem with that. It's a civil process, and I'm going to bear this out in a little bit and confirm it, but that means that you have a right to an attorney, but you don't have a right to have one appointed to you because this is not a criminal process. And of course, it can't be a criminal process because it doesn't rise to that level. It couldn't possibly, because there's no crime committed before they come and take your bloody guns. Yeah. You know, they say, well, we have to have these ERPO laws in these states. No, not one of them are necessary. No, not one. Not one. You understand that all 50 states have laws that say that people can be taken and held for up to 72 hours for observation and for their safety and that of others. In other words, they take the person. The person is dangerous. They remove the person. That's what you're supposed to freaking do. All right, so if you have these laws literally in all 50 states, here in Florida, it's the Baker Act, why do we need ERPOs? These other laws make more sense. You remove the person. Well, what makes you think you're going to actually find all the guns, huh? Or maybe does that illegal registration come in here somewhere? Did I say that? Yes, I did. It just might. It just might come into play. Well, we know you just bought this gun last week and this gun over here about last year. And 2 months before that, you bought this pistol. You don't think it can't happen, people. There's a reason that all this stuff is coming at us from all sides, including this ATF trying to reclassify you as an unlicensed dealer if you sell one of your guns. That does dovetail into this, but I don't have time to bring it out in this episode. But this is very ripe for abuse. All it takes is somebody in any of the aforementioned professions who hates firearms, hates the Second Amendment, hates the Constitution for that matter, and they would seize upon any excuse at all to report somebody for an ERPO. And if you think they're going to be honest in their allegations against you, I got news for you. You're sadly mistaken. Listen, when they named off all these professions, in so doing, they were granting them credence. And they were granting them the power to accuse you without justification. That's a very, addictive power. The power to harm others. The power to harm them and impede the free exercise of their rights. Now, what happens when you go to your doctor and your doctor hates guns? He hates the Second Amendment. And he asks your little boy or little girl, or even you, do you have guns in the home? And if the little girl says, yeah, he's going to start asking even more questions. So make sure you never leave your child alone with your doctor ever. And if they ask questions like that, you tell them flat out, honey, don't answer that. And dear doctor, I'll be finding another doctor. You are forbidden from asking anything like that of me or my children. Oh, okay. Well, you sure did react angrily there. Anger issues. Yeah, I'm going to put that in my notes here. Became extremely agitated. Again, don't think they won't embellish what happened in order to make you look like a kook that needs an ERPO. They continued in this memo, in 2023, the Justice Department's Office of Justice Programs, the OJP, in the center, awarded $238 million to states, territories, and the District of Columbia under the BYRNE, B-Y-R-N-E, State Crisis Intervention Program, or the SCIP, or all of these, I'm blanking on them, all of these letters here, SCIP, and the DOJ, and the OJP. Oh my goodness, one thing after another. The alphabet agencies, which was created by the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act and is designed to help jurisdictions implement crisis intervention strategies, including ERPO programs. And so, again, let me translate. They're going to pour federal money in there and gain control of everybody there in the state and make them bend to their will. And if you don't implement this program the way we said so, then we're pulling some of the money back. And they're going to eventually begin complying with all of the federal law enforcement officials, federal prosecutors, federal attorneys, federal judges, federal clinicians, federal victim service and social service providers, federal community organizations, and behavioral health professionals, federal. You know, they're going to decide they don't like something you said. They don't like something you put on social media, something you said on your podcast. And they can and will purposely misconstrue and or misrepresent what you said and fashion it into a threat. And all they have to say, well, I was scared when I read that. I took that as a threat. Well, then what do you do now? Well, this doctor, they have credence and credibility with the federal government, and they said that you said such and such. We can't take a chance. You might be prone to violence. We're taking your guns. In addition, OJP awarded $4 million to support training and technical assistance under the SCIP, including $2 million that was awarded to the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Violence Solution to establish the ERPO Resource Center. Remember I said earlier they're going to be employing academia against us also. That's what I was mentioning earlier. And they're in bed with the Bolsheviks, the Johns Hopkins people there. And we'll read more about them in a few minutes, maybe, if I can get into their article or not. We'll see how the time is going. Now, it says, in collaboration with the OJP's Bureau of Justice Assistance, or the BJA, all these bureaus upon bureaus and within other bureaus. Man, they're just flying all over the place here, aren't they? My goodness. The center will support states, local governments, law enforcement, prosecutors, attorneys, judges, clinicians, victim service providers, and behavioral health, and other social service providers in their efforts to implement ERPO programs to fit local needs, share resources, and promising practices with the field, and help ensure that funding received through the SCIP is effectively utilized. So they're also going to be doing some auditing on the states and making sure they're doing with this federal tax dollars exactly what they want them to do, and issuing as many of these ERPOs as they want them to. And if not, they're going to pull back the federal money, and they're going to pull it back until that state complies. They're going to say, you go file these ERPOs like we tell you. We understand there's 20,000 there, but it doesn't matter. When we tell you to do it, you do it. And you serve these things on whomever we tell you to serve them on. Doesn't matter what you think. And if you don't, no money. They said supporting our law enforcement, more like manipulating our law enforcement and community partners in curbing the scourge of gun violence, is more critical than ever, said Acting Associate Attorney General Benjamin C. Meiser, who, by the way, is a flaming LGBTQXYZLMNOP-loving communist. He says, in addition to other resources leveraged, that's a funny word. Gee, that's a word your host has been using here for a few minutes, how they leverage money against the states. In addition to other resources leveraged across the Justice Department, the center will provide communities with new tools and technical assistance to help them implement effective crisis intervention strategies and reduce gun violence. The OJP Assistant Attorney General Amy L. Solomon said, OJP's investment in ERPO programs demonstrates the department's commitment to address the gun violence crisis in the United States. Incorrect. Your commitment is to the protection of the federal government through disarmament by using all government officers and enforcers against the people. But don't you say for a minute, lady, that this is about keeping the people safe. Not one bit. They say this crisis cannot be solved at one level of government. In other words, we can't do it without you guys. We need your help in this mass confiscation scheme. And so we can't do it without you. We couldn't pass a federal red flag law, so we're going at it another way, and we need your help. Again, let me just throw this out there. What if this is really just a mass gun confiscation disguised as an ERPO law? Do you really think they wouldn't try it? No, really. Do you really think they wouldn't try it? They're audacious. I've told you this many times, and you've probably seen it for yourself. I didn't have to tell you. They said through the center and its newly launched website, states, local governments, law enforcement, prosecutor, blah, 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 the same old list, will have direct access to critical information that will enhance their ability to reduce firearm homicides and suicides. Now, remember earlier when I said put the word federal in front of all those professions, federal law enforcement officials, prosecutors, attorneys, judges, clinicians, victim service and social service providers, community organizations, and behavioral health specialists. Remember when I said that? Well, remember a few seconds ago, I referenced the website about the center, in the last article there. Well, here it is, National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center from the Johns Hopkins Centers for Gun Violence Solutions. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. First, we're going to take a brief commercial timeout for the world's finest sponsors. Do not go anywhere. We've got a lot more to go here on Shooting Straight.
The Police Hall of Fame and the United States Law Enforcement Foundation, where bold vision and hope align to create a better tomorrow for all law enforcement and the communities they serve by strong advocacy, hard and soft skills training and education, and their many programs of compassion. To learn more, please go to uslef.org or aphf.org.
Sicario's Gun Shop, buy, sell, or trade firearms. Purchase Class 3 NFA items, custom builds, gunsmithing, and cleaning. Liberty Gun Safes. Sicario's Gun Shop fully supports our military and law enforcement. Visit online at sicariosgunshop.com or in person at 5325 North Wickham Road, Suite 105 in Melbourne, Florida.
Sicario's, where you come first for your second.
Welcome back to the program. We've been talking on all things ERPO, Emergency Risk Protection Order, aka Red Flag Laws, and talking about the implementation of the Center, which the long name is National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. And here is a thing from the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Violence Solutions, calling this a tool to save lives. Yes, federal lives, not the lives of the people. And they start explaining what an ERPO is. And here we go. An Extreme Risk Protection Order, ERPO, is a civil court order. Remember what I said a few minutes ago? That temporarily restricts firearm access. No, it does not. It might take their guns, but it doesn't keep them from ever finding one. And it's really easy to get a gun on an underground market, okay? Anyway, that temporarily restricts firearm access for an individual who is behaving dangerously. Of course, that definition is subject to government twisting. Or presents a high risk of harm to self or others. One more time, I'm going to ask, why take the firearms if it's the person who's dangerous? Why do we need ERPO laws in every state when every state already had laws that could take the person and hold them for 72 hours for observation? Just wanted to throw that reminder back out there. And by the way, the term individual, will soon be replaced or added in order to say person or persons. Okay, I said it right here, April 8th, 2024. And then they give you a resource for implementers, ERPO implementers. And they say, what are ERPOs? As of March 24th, As of March 2024, 21 states and the District of Columbia have enacted ERPO laws. I'm tripping over my tongue. Sorry. Get a little bit annoyed reading this stuff. Though the names of these laws and the laws themselves vary by state, the process is similar for most petitioners. In all states, ERPOs are civil, not criminal, court orders. However, violation of an ERPO law, I'm just going to call them red flags, all right, may be a criminal offense depending on state law. Well, I tell you what, go ahead and count me as a criminal then, because if you come to my house attempting to take my firearms without accusing me of something and without due process, you're definitely going to have to shoot me, because I will definitely be putting up a fight. Okay? There it is. Because look, here it is. These things violate the Second Amendment, obviously. The Second Amendment is very clear. It says the government may not infringe my right to keep and bear arms. ERPOs do that. They violate that right because, number one, there's no criminal accusation that precedes the taking of my arms, and therefore they have no constitutional basis or no constitutional foundation whatsoever to take my guns. So if they are not lawfully disarming me, and they're not, then that is violating my Second Amendment right. How about the Fourth Amendment? The Fourth Amendment originally, when it was penned, it was designed to enforce the notion that each man's home is his castle. It was the castle doctrine in every way, shape, and form. And that every man could be secure from unreasonable searches and seizures of his property by the government. It basically protects against any governmental arbitrary arrests. Also, it's the basis of law for regarding search warrants and wiretaps and other forms of surveillance and things like that, as well as it's very central to many other criminal law topics and privacy law, for the citizenry. Amendment 4 says very plainly the right of the people to keep and bear, that's the second, and it's my favorite, obviously, because it just jumps right on out of my mouth. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. So you tell me how it's deemed reasonable to simply have armed officers arrive at my door with no arrest warrant, no accusation, no questioning, no nothing like that. Just simply, we're here for your guns, and this ERPO says you have to hand them over. The rest of the Fourth Amendment says, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by an oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Please explain to me how ERPOs square with those amendments, much less the Fifth Amendment, which provides that no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Now, what I keep hearing from these braying Bolsheviks is, well, there is a process. No. You are not following due process prior to seizing property. There is a major difference between your process and actual constitutional due process. As a matter of fact, they're diametrically opposite. What is due process? It's a fundamental, constitutional, foundational principle that ensures that all of us citizens as individuals have the right to a fair and impartial legal process when facing accusations or legal proceedings. If you can come up with an accusation of a crime that I have committed or one that I am threatening to commit, that's one thing. But just taking something I said that you didn't like and then fabricating evidence, which is exactly what's going to happen, it has already been happening in multiple states that have these things. There have been multiple incidents of false accusations. If I'm facing accusation or legal proceedings, then I have the right to be informed of the charges. I have the right to present exculpatory evidence in my own favor. I have a right to cross-examine any accuser, and also, matter of fact, my attorney would too. I'd probably leave it to him because I'd probably get a little bit animated. And I have the right to have access to that legal representation I just mentioned prior to denying me of my life, liberty, or property. Prior to it. Prior, not after the fact. No, you don't get to tell me that we've created a process whereby you can get your guns back. No, that is not the due process that was created back by our founders when they penned it in 1791. Actually, they didn't pen it then. They adopted it into the Constitution. So I have the right to be informed of any accusation. If you can level a credible accusation against me, okay, well, that's one thing. But due process is, what should I say? I hate using the word foundational. It's the cornerstone of American justice and our American justice system. It was instituted to protect American citizens against such arbitrary actions by any authorities, especially with these things like ERPOs. ERPOs are constitutionally dyslexic. They don't square with it. They can't square with it. They violate the Second, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments with violence, with great impunity. Their article continues, ERPOs temporarily prohibit a person from possessing or purchasing firearms and provide a process, there it is, for the removal of firearms already in the person's possession. The possession of a firearm is not required for an individual to be an ERPO respondent. Yeah, but you think you can deprive somebody of liberty or of owning a firearm just based on what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't. You can't deprive somebody of their property. You can't deprive somebody of their liberty. You can't deprive them of their firearm that's in their immediate possession, and you can't deny them rearming themselves until you have leveled articulable, reasonably substantiated accusations against them and given them a chance to respond to it. That's not what's happening here. Yeah. People, these things are dangerous. I tell you what, if you want to talk about... Well, here, there's something else I want to bring out. They continued, it said, an ERPO can be used to temporarily prevent someone who is behaving dangerously or at risk of committing violence from purchasing and possessing firearms. Oh, you mean like all those domestic violent extremists that the FBI labeled all Trump supporters? Yeah. All Christians as Christian nationalists? All of the violent accusations being leveled against us, and we're told that we are dangerous. Do you understand why this federal center has now been implemented? This is going to be used against conservatives, against Trump, against Trump supporters, against Christians. Don't you doubt me, people. This is the foundation. Therefore, I promise you, I think these ERPOs would be better served against the FBI and the ATF agents because they are definitely mentally unstable. How do I say that? Well, because they fancy themselves to be lords rather than the public servants they actually are intended to be, which means they're delusional and therefore cannot be trusted with a firearm. How about that? So, they say, again, they repeat, ERPO laws are based on domestic violence protection. Nah, that's just, no. Yeah, they're based on domestic violence protection order laws, which have been in place in all 50 states for decades and are a well-established tool for protecting people experiencing intimate partner violence. I tell you what, it's also well-established that such orders don't work against a determined person intent on committing violence. Again, why just the guns? Why not the knives? Why not the knives out of the kitchen? Why not the hatchet off the pegboard or the hammer off the pegboard in the garage? There's a host of other things that they don't consider, even a hammer for that matter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll tell you what's really well established. I was going to say something like all the pedophiles in Washington, D.C., but I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But again, they say the ERPO implementers, law enforcement officers, judicial officers, family and household members, all of a sudden they put in here. Family and household members. That's in 16 states. You know, I've seen families whose members are on opposite ends of the political spectrum from each other. Yeah, like a mother or a father are on opposite ends. Matter of fact, I got a very dear friend named Frank, and I'm not going to say his last name. I don't have his permission. But Frank is married to a flaming liberal. I mean, just spouts the communist line. And he says he's got to the place where he just simply doesn't bring up things around her anymore. She's so rabid against him and against anything conservative because she's a diehard Democrat communist. So again, what if she decided she didn't like Frank owning guns? And I know for a fact Frank owns a gun or two. What if she decided, you know what? And maybe even in the heat of an argument, she could make the accusation that he's dangerous. He threatened me with a gun. You think that won't happen? It absolutely will be happening. It has already been happening. All these clinicians, all these attorneys, all these social service providers, and that's going to also include DCF workers who, you know, how much they relish the illegal power they were given, right? Uh-huh. I tell you what, those people are a sick bunch. They really are. What happens if a DCF worker doesn't like the fact that you demand a warrant prior to them demanding entry into your house, huh? You think that can't happen or won't happen? Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, they would say, we're going to file a motion to remove your children from your home, and if you resist us or protest in the least, we'll fire an ERPO on you too. Yeah, because you'll be, you know, proving you're prone to violence. Well, once you're disarmed, what do you think they're going to do to you? Anything they want. Anything they want. If they don't like the way you spoke to them, oh, you're scaring me. You can either let me in your house and let me look around, or I'm going to file an ERPO, and then the state will have grounds to take your kids from you. So they got you one way or the other. Well, how do we resist this treasonous aggression? This is treasonous aggression against our rights. How do we do that? First of all, I'm going to issue a call to all state, local, and county law enforcement agencies throughout all 50 states. We need you to stand tall here. We need you literally to refuse to jump on this bandwagon. I call on every individual officer out there to think constitutionally. Think about you being on the receiving end of something like this. I think you should refuse to enforce them. Tell your commander that you refuse to because they flagrantly violate the Second, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment rights of the people, and you don't want to put yourself or your agency in a lawsuit for such flagrant constitutional violations. How about you start there? But we need you to do it. We need you to stand up. There needs to be pushback. And you're the front line in the pushback. Let me ask you something. You got the testicles for this fight? Because if not, you're going to allow yourself to be subjugated by federal tax dollars. And next thing you know, you're going to be going, oh, I was just doing my job. That didn't work at Nuremberg. Don't ever forget that. So, yes, I call on all you individual officers. How about all you federal officers out there? I believe there are some of you out there that have a constitutional conscience left. Yes, because after meeting Peter Forselli, I have come to that conclusion. I used to think they were all corrupt to the core. But I think there might be a few. How about you out there? How about you help us stand up against this trash? Well, I know, might cost you your livelihood. You might take false accusations from your own agency, like Peter Forselli did, and his partner, I can't remember his name, but yeah, John Dodson, I'm sorry. Yeah, they took a lot of heat. John Dodson almost got indicted on false accusations. If they'll file false accusations against their own agents, what do you think they would do with an ERPO law? You think they wouldn't lie? I call on my fellow keepers and bearers also. I call on my state legislators. You better, as a matter of fact, here in Florida, repeal this red flag crap. It's been greatly abused. And by one particular sheriff, no, not my own, but one particular sheriff who has a celebrity status with the media and even in the Second Amendment community, but who has been abusing the living crap out of ERPOs. Bombard your state legislators out there, my keepers and bearers. Demand they take no money from the center. Demand that they don't allow themselves to become federal puppets. And again, I'm going to be crafting another resolution of noncompliance with ERPOs, like we did back against the assault weapons ban that was being pushed through on a constitutional amendment in Florida. Well, we basically told them and told every state legislator, don't even think about this. We will not comply. You're going to find yourself in a pickle. I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be putting it out there. It might get me an ERPO filed against me. And you can go ahead and rest assured that if one is ever filed, then you probably heard my last podcast. No, not because I'm quitting, but because I'll be quitted, if you know what I mean. This is pushback time. Raise your voice. Do it through email. Do it through speaking to your fellow man, your fellow keepers and bearers, your family. Tell them the insidiousness of this. What happens next? Are they going to come and take your car? A red flag law against a car? Don't you think they won't? Where does it go from here? Where does it end? It doesn't. Tyranny does not have a reverse gear. It's always forward, full steam ahead. We cannot bend to these ERPOs. I'm to the point where I'm liable to tack something to my front door saying, if you attempt to serve an ERPO here, you better think twice about it. Do not kick my door in. You definitely don't want to do that. Don't surprise me, because you scare me, I'll hurt you. Royce, man, you're talking about violence. You know what? No. The violence is being waged against us and our rights. That's the violence. And it's coming in the form of ERPOs. Catch you on the next episode. You know what to do. Hound your representatives, tell them what they need to be doing and how they need to square themselves and every decision they make with the Constitution. Keep a loaded firearm on your person, and I'm not talking about some little mouse gun. People, we're going to be fighting these guys and all these enemies that Biden's led across the border very soon. I'm going to be talking about that again on the next episode, so make sure you don't miss that. And never forget, that's right. Incoming rounds always have the right of way. Royce out.